my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations or all Gentiles. Our Lord Jesus even quoted that verse when he saw commerce and merchandise being exchanged and money being exchanged in the court of the Gentiles. He got so upset, he overturned the place of commerce and business. And he quoted Isaiah 56, and he said, "My Father's house shall be a house of prayer for all Gentiles." And this court of the Gentiles is where it has been given for them to worship, and you've made it a house of commerce and a place of merchandise. He quoted this. And the Lord was showing me that where we're going to end up today, I'm just going to kind of give you the end so you know that we're going somewhere as we go there. The end is Ephesians 2 and 3. We won't turn to it right now, but the end of this journey is, I'm going to just quote it to you without turning to it, and then we'll look at it later. The end of this journey is, "You who were once foreigners, who were not a people and alienated and not even in citizenship in the Commonwealth of Israel, you have been brought near into Messiah's covenants, and we have been made one new man." The mystery, Paul says, the mystery of the gospel is that Jew and Gentile are one new man in Messiah. That's the message of my covenant with the Gentiles, is one new man. And that's where we're going to end. But the Lord likes to prove things in layers, line upon line, scripture upon scripture. So we're going to build to that point, okay? But isn't it helpful to know where we're going? One new man. No wall of separation. Let no foreigner who has bound himself or herself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me." He said that in 800 BC. But what did he say in 1400 BC? He said a very odd thing. I'm going to probably read to you the strangest passage in the entire Bible that no one would ever touch or teach on because it's so bizarre. He wants me to teach on it. Don't you think circumcision is a fine topic for Mother's Day? Actually, in biblical times, it was always the women who circumcised their sons. One of those little known trivial facts. Anyway, that's not God's point. But Moses married a Midianite woman. He fled from Egypt. You probably know the story. We won't retell it. He married a Midianite. Now, the Midianites were children of Abraham, but they were not children of Sarah. Genesis tells us that Abraham had a wife after Sarah named Keturah. But 1 Chronicles says she was a concubine. And in the Old Testament, concubines were almost like wives, but they weren't at the full legal status of a wife. They were similar. It's like a whole teaching, and we're not going to go into that. But what I'm trying to say is this. Abraham had many, many nations come out of his body. And one of those many nations was the Midianites. So they weren't children of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, but they were of Sarah's concubine Keturah, and Midian was one of those people groups. And they did practice circumcision. You might wonder how this connects, but it really does. See, Abraham was told, every male in your household, even Gentiles, even slaves that were purchased for money, if they're under your authority, Abraham, you will circumcise them, and if it's within the eighth day of their birth, you will do it on the eighth day. So Midianites practiced circumcision in those days because they were children of Abraham. And the reason I'm explaining this is because if you go all the way back to Exodus 4, this is that strange passage I promised you. In Exodus chapter 4, God had just assigned Moses the biggest assignment anyone's ever gotten except for Jesus making atonement for the whole earth. And that was to go back and confront Pharaoh and demand that he let the Hebrews go. And you know that story. And he just got done, this is before the 10 plagues, this is before Moses even got back to Egypt. And the Lord said, tell Pharaoh, he won't let, Israel is my firstborn son. That's in Exodus 4 and verse in verse 22. He says, tell Pharaoh, Israel's my firstborn son, and because you wouldn't let my firstborn son go free, it's going to cost you your firstborn son, Pharaoh. And after that, Moses leaves, and he takes his wife, his Midianite wife, Zipporah, and he takes his two sons, Gershom and Eleazar. And here's the strangest passage in the Bible, in my opinion. Tell me if you agree. Verse 24, at the lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah, his Midianite wife, took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. The Lord didn't kill him. At that time, she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to the circumcision. Okay, anybody agree that's an awfully odd passage? It's odd for a few reasons. One reason is, why would he seek to kill Moses when he just gave him this huge prophecy about how he would deliver the Israelites? But God, he had me read this, and that was like my first foundational verse he gave me for today, and I'm like, Lord, why? I never understood it completely, but here's the secret. Moses had two sons. If you read this verse carefully and the other verses around it, it says he put both his sons and wife on donkeys and led them to Egypt. But it only says she circumcised one son, and I looked it up in the Hebrew. So that means that his firstborn son was circumcised while they were still living in the land of Midian. But the second son, Eleazar, did not get circumcised. Why would it be so important to the Lord? Why would that be so critical that he would actually seek to kill Moses, which is that's what the Hebrew says. It says he sought to kill him. Well, Moses was a Levite, and he was from a clan of the tribe of Levi called Kohath. And when they got into the desert, it was the Kohathites, it was that clan of the Levites that carried all the sacred articles out of the tent of meeting. Whenever the glory cloud would lift off of the tent, you know how they had to pack up their tent and journey through the desert? Well, it was Moses' sons that had to carry the sacred furnishings from camp to camp. Now, the law of Moses had not even been given yet. You know when the law of Moses was given? When they came out of Egypt, and in the third month, they came to Mount Sinai, and that comes out in Exodus 20. That's when they got the law. So how was circumcision the law if there was no law yet? Because Abraham was 400 years before Moses. And everyone knew the law of circumcision, including the Midianites. Okay, now here's my point. I'm not going to belabor it for the sake of time because this isn't the main point of this message. His Gentile wife had to perform God's law to save her Jewish husband's life, so that her sons would be qualified to carry the sacred articles through the desert when the glory of God said, it's time to break camp and move. They were one new man in Messiah, Moses and Zipporah. And later, Miriam and Aaron, his fleshly brother and sister, criticized him for marrying a Midianite, and Miriam got struck with leprosy for criticizing her brother Moses. That was God's marriage. Okay, now I'm not going to belabor that one because there's so much more here. The next point that blew my mind is found in the book of Numbers and in the book of Joshua. Let me see which one I'd like to turn to. Was that clear how I explained it? Is that clear? I hope so.